Hello, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Climate University. This is a Making an In-District Lobby Plan. Our host tonight is Amy Bennett, the CCL Director of Congressional Liaisons. And as Director of Congressional Liaisons, Amy Bennett provides training and support to volunteer liaisons as they build relationships with congressional offices and help representatives move up the ladder of support for effective legislative action. She is responsible for organizing CCL's lobby days in Washington, D.C., including mentoring liaisons on how to schedule and organize congressional meetings and to maintain productive dialogues throughout the year. Joining Amy tonight will be the personal experiences of CCL liaisons Carl Danz and Robin Mike Hoy. I believe Carl is the liaison for Rep. Anna Eschew, and Robin is the liaison for Rep. Brian Fitzpatrick. Both members were co-sponsors of the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend. And if we've done our jobs right, here's what we should be walking through, just going over the learning goals for understanding. The first is to review the basics of getting your in-district meeting scheduled and planned. Next, we'll go over highlighting the importance of in-district experiences and moving your member forward. And last will be know where to find resources on CCL Community and get started. And without further ado, I want to turn it over to Amy.
Thanks, Jamie. Why do we want to have an in-district meeting? Getting started, planning the meeting, where to find additional resources, and we're going to have some great video stories from the field from Carl and Robin and Mike, and then we're going to leave some time for Q&A. And so why in district? At the start of the calendar year, we organize our annual in-district lobby drive for volunteers to organize lobby meetings with congressional offices in your district. And so you ask, why do we focus on in-district meetings? Well, before I answer that, I want to talk about how district offices are different from the DC offices. And then we'll get into why we think lobbying in district can actually supplement the impact of what we're doing in Washington. So the duties of the staff typically are in two different categories. There's the legislative staff that are in Washington, DC, we call it the Hill, or representational, which are in the district. So the Hill staff generally draft legislation, those staffers attend committee meetings and hearings, and the DC staff is where the member of Congress actually votes on legislation. The representational staff in the district, you've got your district director who oversees the district schedule and spends a lot of time with the member of Congress, him or herself. Most of the office personnel are dedicated to these representational duties, that's a mouthful, which include responding to constituent questions and requests. And that includes something they refer to as casework. So one example of casework is a senior citizen loses their Social Security check and they don't know how to get it back again. Other things like that. But also, there's an opportunity for us to go in and meet. The district staff also does a lot of answering mail. Both the DC office and the local offices do this. So why in-district meetings? Well, actually more volunteers can participate. You can actually bring endorsers, people who are endorsing our proposals, such as business leaders in the community, faith leaders, and so on. You can bring them with you. You can also meet more than a couple of times a year. And then there's also a great chance for what we refer to as a face-to-face meeting. A face-to-face is when you're actually meeting with the member themselves. Now, you can't always get a face-to-face meeting, especially if you just had one a month ago. But this increases your chances, and we're going to share with you where to find the House and Senate calendars to know when your member should be in the district versus in Washington, D.C. So meetings in the district can also improve your chances of getting meetings in Washington, D.C. You're actually showing them that you're a constituent in their district, so therefore you're a very important person. And the district staff are also important in helping you understand where you can go to get endorsements. We learn a lot from district staff because they're on the ground in the district meeting other constituents, and they listen to the community, so we can ask them, who is it you pay most attention to in the community? So to get started, we're going to organize, we've already organized this lobby drive, which is going to be from now until the end of April. And now that we have the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, now that that was introduced at the end of last year and soon to be reintroduced this year in the House, the bill can really be the focus of the meeting. For this year, 2019, again, any meetings from around, I would say, January 21st or so through the end of April will be included in our grand tally of meetings. You may end up having your meetings start a little later, like in February, because of the shutdown in D.C., but hopefully, you know, February will still be a good time to have a meeting, February, March, April, and so on. We do encourage you to have these meetings before April, if possible. That's because we have our big June conference and lobby day in June. In fact, that lobby day is June 11th this year, and we don't want the two to butt up against each other too closely. Because if you have a meeting too late in April, they might say, oh, we just met with you. So we're hoping to have all these in-district meetings a little bit earlier in the beginning of this year. And your chances, again, of getting that face-to-face are especially good during the House and Senate, what they call recesses. So those recesses, and we'll have links to these, to the schedules for the House and Senate, is January 21st through the 25th, February 18th through the 22nd, March 18th through the 22nd, and if need be, April 15th through the 26th. I think those February and March dates are good ones to go for if you would like to get a face-to-face meeting with your member. So starting out, you want to determine who it is who can set the appointment. That's normally the CCL liaison. If there's a designated liaison, you want to go to them first because they are designated as being the main point of contact for that member of Congress. Now, we do have backup liaisons. The liaison is always not available, or there might not be a liaison for your member of Congress yet. So you may want to check with your group leader or state coordinator if you don't know. Also, work with your group leader to help coordinate if there's more than one chapter that actually has that same member of Congress. For instance, where I am in San Diego, North San Diego County, there's actually several chapters that might have that might want to meet with our member of Congress. So you want to check with those group leaders, find out if anybody else is trying to have a meeting, or if you happen to be a Senate liaison. For instance, here in California, our senators have 5 or 6 offices. So one chapter or several chapters might try to meet in the San Diego office with particular staff there, and the San Francisco Bay Area people might be having a separate meeting. So you want to coordinate just so you're on the same page, and your group leader and the state coordinators can help you find out who those other appointment setters or liaisons are. Then you want to decide if you are wanting to request a staff-level meeting or a face-to-face meeting. Face-to-face are the ideal. That's the cream of the crop. That's what you really want, but it's not always possible. And in fact, staff-level meetings can be very productive to just develop that relationship with the local staff, the local office. So you want to also confirm with your member's office, what is their preferred method of requesting an appointment? A lot of times, especially for a face-to-face, it starts off a little bit formally, sometimes by going to their website and putting a request in via the website. And then after that, it usually turns out that the back and forth on finalizing that meeting is through email. Now, the designated appointment setter, usually the liaison, requests the meeting, and they're the person who follows up as needed, mostly through email. And we discussed, we'll also discuss updated appointment setting instructions on liaison support calls for those of you who are liaisons, and we also have information on communities in district lobby page. We even have sample email requests, so you don't have to make up, you know, you don't have to even draft the request. You can copy and paste and edit one that we have for you if you'd like. And putting that into practice, if you haven't actually attended a lobby meeting, I would suggest you consider viewing the lobby practice, which is a core volunteer training video. It's really fun. Brett and I do a role play in it, and we go through what it's like to be in a meeting. We chunk it out into three parts, the beginning, middle, and end of the meeting. And so we practice it, and we talk quite a bit about how that meeting might flow. Now, your in-district lobby team should meet and set the agenda and assign roles and rehearse the meeting. So we have materials on that, like there's going to be a leader who facilitates the meeting, timekeeper, a person who takes notes so they can submit the meeting minutes, the person who makes the official ask, and the person who leaves the leave behind, the one pager, etc. So there's materials on that on the planning document. You should also review what we usually make an appreciation at the beginning of the meeting, so it's really great to figure out, well, what's the appreciation and who should deliver that appreciation. You want to review the primary ask, leave behind, and then there's another document called about supporting asks. So it's good to have both your primary ask and consider a potential supporting ask or a secondary ask. And then don't forget to file those meeting minutes after the meeting. That becomes part of the permanent record of working with that member of Congress. Okay, so you do want to download the scheduling guide on community and the sample email template that I had just mentioned, and I think Jamie might be able to put that in the chat for you, but it's also on community. If you're offered a meeting outside your original request time, take it if you can. It's not always possible to get exactly what you want. Keep in mind that starting in mid-April, we're also going to be asking liaisons to make that request for the meeting in Washington, D.C. So again, we don't want those to butt up too close against each other. And if you have a good relationship with the scheduler, you might even just ask, hey, it's getting a little bit late in April. Can we still have this April meeting, or will it upset our plans to have the June meeting? And if that's the case, you might just say, okay, well, let's just plan on the June meeting. And keep in mind also, so for some of the new members who are just elected, I think there's 100 of them, they may take a little time to get their office set up and all their staff hired. That can actually take them several months. So just keep that in mind, that you might need to be a little flexible there. Okay, now planning the meeting. Liaisons and chapter members, especially constituents, should discuss what's the goal of their meeting? What are the agenda items going to be? Of course, we think that's going to be around Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, but you may have some other items, follow-up items you want to consider. Based on your history with the member, you know, think about that secondary ask. You still want to have the primary ask, but think about the secondary ask. And then use the meeting plan template to kind of organize your meeting, assigning the roles, mapping things out. You may want to request that different staff come and join the meeting. If the district director doesn't normally come to the office location where you're meeting, you might want to see if he can join by phone, or you might even want to see if you have a good relationship with the DC staff, the energy aide may be able to join the meeting that way also. And do remember to coordinate with other chapters, because that really matters so that we're all on the same page if we are meeting with multiple offices of the same member. And who and what to bring. We'll discuss who should be on the lobby team. Good candidates could be the liaisons, the group leaders, volunteers from multiple chapters so they see there's constituents from all over the district or state, new members you might include so they can feel empowered by the experience. And remember to ask ahead, how many people can the office accommodate so you don't bring too many people? We suggest no more than 6 or 7 people. You might consider bringing influential community leaders like business owners, faith leaders, high-profile community members. And what you want to do is start by reconnecting with the key local leaders who maybe have already signed influencer letters or endorser letters, those that are in the Grasstop engagement tracker. Let them know the purpose of the meeting and the date ranges that you're looking at, and also talk to them to ensure that if you bring them to the meeting, they know what the ask is and they're in favor of it and would not speak against it, of course. But that is something important you want to cover ahead of time. You want to bring and discuss any signed endorsements or constituent letters or letters to the editor or any resources that might you might want to bring to your member. Those will all be impressive to the member of Congress or to the staff. So things like the REMI report or the household impact study or the Yale climate opinion maps might be things you'd consider. And also think about your member and who are the trusted messengers for your member. For example, if your member's progressive, that might mean you want to bring influential people who are also progressive. And likewise true for a conservative member. We had a chapter in Michigan who was able to get Representative Trott to sign on to the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act from last session of Congress. And they think it was due to the materials from other conservative-leaning groups that they brought to previous meetings. Those were that was some information from the CLC, the Conservative Leadership Council. And that liaison's advice was that if you want to lobby a conservative before, be sure you bring those kinds of materials. All right. And you also want to think about questions to ask. We really emphasize listening, and sometimes it doesn't come naturally, at least for me. I always want to answer the question rather than ask and really listen and ask for more information about their answer. So think about having questions ahead of time. Think about where the member already is on the ladder of support. So here's some questions you could ask. What do you like about the Energy Innovation Act, and how do you think it can be improved? Ask what you, as CCL members in the district, can do to make it easier for that member to support or co-sponsor or vote for the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. And if needed, ask, with this Congress, what do you think is the best way to move forward on energy and climate issues? What's your preferred plan to lower emissions? And again, be prepared to peel back that onion a little bit and ask secondary questions. As I said, sometimes my reaction is just to respond to their answer, and it's really great to listen and help them feel heard and ask a follow-up question or make sure you heard it correctly. And then at the end of your meeting, you might want to suggest that you're going to want to ask for a meeting in June in DC. That might help that meeting happen. But keep in mind, you're still going to have to separately send or submit a formal request to get that June meeting. And then again, you might ask, well, what would the Congress member like to discuss in June if we get a meeting with him in person or her in person in June? And you might even offer your own suggestions. Okay, and then after the meeting, once you leave the office and are a little distance away from the office, you want to meet for a few minutes and share your notes, especially so the note taker can make sure that he or she has caught everything. And then also consider feedback on how the meeting went. How could we improve that next time? That's a really good opportunity to say, oh, wow, I forgot to ask this one question, or just for some reflection there. Also, you want to confirm that note taker is able to actually submit the meeting minutes as soon as possible. We like to get them back in a day or so. And then who's going to do follow-ups on items that need to be followed up on? For instance, who's going to send the special report to the member or what have you, something they might have asked for. So now let's jump to where to find things on Community. So the recorded webinars and the community pages below have details on planning and conducting a lobby meeting in the district. And again, we've mentioned these before. How to schedule a meeting. There's actually a video on that. I think it's 15 minutes. How to plan a meeting. How to host a successful in-district event. This is a different one. It's very good. It's posted by Brad Fitch, president of the Congressional Management Foundation. So that's if you want to bring in or go to a local place to have a meeting with your member where they're able to actually talk to a business leader in a business setting or something like that. It's a great video. Give you a lot of ideas.
It was very incredible. Thank you so much, Amy, for that presentation. We are going to see some incredible video footage from CCL volunteers telling their story. This first one is Carl Danz, whose representative is Eshu, who was a co-sponsor of the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act.
Well, hi there. My name's Carl Danz, and I've been a CCL volunteer for almost 6 years now. And the last several years, I've had the real privilege of serving as liaison to our wonderful Congresswoman, Anna Eshu, serving out here in California, District 18. which encompasses a lot of interesting companies and people, but it's principally known as the home of Silicon Valley. And she's a very tech-savvy member of Congress, and she takes great pride in that. So, and, you know, in terms of some of the things that we've done here when we're in district, we've really tried to take advantage of that in a number of different ways. And a couple things that maybe to highlight, one is that it's all about relationships, right? I mean, we've learned this in our work with CCL. And so, for example, when I came to learn that there was a new local and district staffer who was assigned energy and environment, I asked him if it would be okay to get together, just the two of us, you know, just have coffee and get caught up. And he was open to that, and we did that. And that was great, right? Because some of the things that we take advantage of that are different from what we could do in D.C., for example, we are here in Silicon Valley. And that affords us an opportunity to bring in, for example, local business leaders, particularly from the tech companies. And I'm recalling one meeting in particular where we really scored on this one. One of our volunteers was able to line up the head of sustainability for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise was in the meeting, along with the VP of Environmental and Energy Policy for the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, which is, you know, by the name you could tell it's kind of a local business association for tech firms or for Silicon Valley firms in general, not just tech. So here we have the head of sustainability for HPE. We had the head of sustainability, environment, energy policy for Silicon Valley Leadership Group and our congresswoman. And quite frankly, that was a three-way meeting between the three of them, and we just sort of took notes. And it was fantastic, right? Because, you know, we were able to sort of discuss things like how can business leaders help, you know, through endorsements or other mechanisms to advance the state of the art here with carbon fee and dividend. Another great thing that we've done is we brought in young people. I'll never forget this one meeting where we had a young man, he was from the local high school, and Congresswoman Eshoo made a real point of, you know, welcoming him to the beginning of the meeting and how excited she was to see young people engaged in civic activities. And then after the meeting ended, he was the first person that she ran over to shake his hand and thank him for being in the meeting. One of the more fun stories that I really want to share about working with Congresswoman Anna Eshoo is that in June of 2015, at a D.C.-based meeting with her, we were going over carbon fee and dividend, and in particular, we were emphasizing the benefits that had been identified as part of the REMI report. And she was paying close attention, and that at the end she said, "Wow, you know, it's like hitting the jackpot. It's like getting five cherries, and you know, in a row." And then she read back, you know, reduce the CO2 emissions by 50% after 20. You know, she read back all the REMI talking points to line up with the five cherries idea, and we thought that was just such a great metaphor. And so right after the meeting, one of our guys says, "I'm going to mock that up and send it to you by the end of the day." You know, and we had this like nice little PowerPoint slide with the five cherries and, you know, each of the REMI high points listed across. And then in our very next DC meeting that following November, Bill Betchert, who was the liaison at the time, he had printed that beautifully, framed it in a proper frame, and you know, carried it on the plane in bubble wrap, and so we showed up in November, and he asked for a minute of her time to present that to her, and she was really moved by it, and again, she read back the five key REMI talking points from this PowerPoint slide in a frame, which is now, by the way, on display in the entryway of her DC office, you know, along with a lot of other memorabilia and such. So that's that's a fun thing, and I have to say that Representative Eshoo has carried that forward so beautifully. I mean, she just in the last couple months, in a piece of U.S. mail that she sent me with a lot of handwritten personal stuff on it. One of the things she said was, in response to the fact that I had left some chocolate-covered cherries for the staffers, was that the legacy of Bill Betchert lives on. And, I mean, here we are years later, and she's remembering him and kind of tying it back. So it's quite a story. I don't mean it to be a downer story. I mean, I think it's actually a positive story that somebody, you know, we're all going to go sometime, and this guy sort of had advance notice and took advantage of that to try to make sure we had an ongoing relationship. So, you know, Bill, wherever you are, man, we're getting it done. We got the bill in play now, and your work is being carried on. So that's just a big part of the story in terms of our relationship with Congresswoman Anna Eshoo. So in closing, I've got to say that meeting with your member of Congress or their staffers in district, there's so many advantages to that. It's first of all, you have greater access typically. You know, things are a little more relaxed. You can get some extra time. You know, the prospect of being at a town hall meeting where you might actually get, you know, 10 minutes of focused conversation at the end with a member of Congress or a key staffer, you know, and that's all in addition, of course, to the more formal and organized meetings in the in-district office. The fact that we can bring in local business leaders or other community leaders, and that actually enhances our relationships with them for us to be able to say, hey, you know, we could bring you into a meeting with your member of Congress in an organized fashion where we're advancing a specific piece of legislation. That carries a lot of weight with business leaders rather than just, you know, come by for a photo op. So we try to take advantage of all those things. And I've got to say that I don't think our DC meetings would be nearly as effective if we hadn't had a regular set of interactions over the years and taken advantage of the opportunities of doing in-district formal meetings in her office as well as some of the more ad hoc things we do that works really well.
I'm Robin Hoy, and I got involved with CCL when I heard Jim Hansen give a 10-minute introduction to a movie and say if you really wanted to make a difference in the climate crisis, join Citizens Climate Lobby.
And I was at the same meeting, and I have to say we got home around midnight, and Robin immediately went on the internet and signed up. I went to bed and signed up the next morning.
We've been really excited to work with Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania. Well, now First District. We've redone our districts. And we just wanted to go through some of the things that we found that have been really positive in building our relationship with him.
I have met his brother a couple times, and we were asked by another organization if we would try and get Mike Fitzpatrick, who was the previous representative of our district, to sign on to the Gibson resolution. And we really were interested in him taking a leadership position from a faith-based perspective. So a number of different representatives of different faiths in Bucks County met in his office and were talking to him about that. And everybody got a chance to talk about their faith perspective and why, you know, why they were called to protect or to steward the planet. So that was the background for when Brian was running. And I happened to run into his brother. I happened to run into Mike on election day when Brian was elected the first time. And I was chit-chatting with him because I had known him over the years. And I said, is he going to keep the same staff members? And he said, well, I don't know, because I advise him not to run. But anyway, Brian was elected, and then as Robin said, we contacted the office to see if we could, because all we had was a fundraising number, if we could chat with him about carbon fee and dividend. And Brian showed up at our farmer's market, and we had an opportunity to talk to him about Citizens Climate Lobby and carbon fee and dividend, and really the rest is history. We've just supported him and
well, it wasn't quite as easy as the rest is history.
No, seems like it.
He has been supportive from the very beginning. But I think what really helped was that we kept running into him at different events. We went to the Audubon Society, had an Earth Day event, and we went up there, and he happened to go to that. And when he was asked to speak, because we had met with him before, he asked us to introduce the idea of carbon fee and dividend to the group. So that was one opportunity right there where we had an opportunity to reinforce carbon fee and dividend, and he wanted to get feedback from the participants who were there about it. So it was a great opportunity. He also subsequently asked us to be part of an environmental forum that he was holding to get feedback from the population, from his constituents about environmental issues. And he had about 10 different organizations, and he had us come as representatives of Citizens Climate Lobby. That's the main thing we would be trying to do, would be collecting constituent comment letters so that we could take groups of 50 of them to his office. We would do that in district as often as we could, because we really felt like we could meet with him more in person a lot of times when we're in district.
One of the things that Brian pointed out as a new member of Congress, he said, you know, we really have a lot to learn, and we have to count on, you know, folks like you, constituents who are concerned about issues, to come out and share your point of view and what you know about these issues with us. Because, you know, he was an FBI agent. He wasn't an environmental guy. He wasn't a tax guy, you know, all that kind of stuff. So he needs to learn from the constituents. And the new guys who are really doing, the new ladies who are really doing a good job, are that way. They want to hear from us, which is really important. One other thing, Robin was mentioning, it's a little bit low key in district. You also have more time, and you know, you might even get an opportunity to talk to them a little bit more about their family and about your family, mm-hmm. as another way of building trust. And you know, and in the end, they're just people like us. You know, they just happen to have a very important job, but you know, they're just people like us, and they can connect on an emotional level with us. And I think that that way you can help move the ball. And the other thing, like, I think is what I call walking the talk. So when he sees us at the Audubon for Earth Day, or sees us at Earth Day events or something like that, he knows that we're involved in environmental issues, not just coming to lobby him. Mm-hmm. And the trust is the thing that ultimately will make a difference. If they trust you, and you provide them with quality information, you get back to them and they ask you for something, you take good care of their staff, because those people are overworked and underpaid, that's the way you build a relationship with a district. And, you know, I think in the long run, that pays off.
We also attended, Mike's a Republican and I'm a Democrat, but we attended one of his fundraisers. And that was an opportunity for us to get to know some of the grass tops people. And it also said to him that we really were supporters of his. We found the industry meetings to be especially rewarding. I think there's always more time. They're always more comfortable instead of cramming into some little teeny tiny 3x5 space. They're more informal. Like Mike said, they're more personal. We're usually meeting with the representative rather than his staff, or along with his staff. And they're in person then. So, and it seems like to me that they're a little bit more candid when it's in the privacy of their own office.
Well, and they really, and the congressmen really want to see you, because, I mean, they want to hear from their constituents. Mm-hmm. That you're, especially if they're new, you know, that they're wanting to learn about things, and you can be a great help. The other thing, I remember on one visit we were in his office and we were sharing with him, there was some kind of a program that CCL was putting on for staff down in Washington, D.C. And I had tried to contact the local L.A. down there at the time, and was unable to reach her to, you know, make sure that she was aware of this meeting. And while in our meeting, he said, excuse me for a second. And he stepped out of the meeting. He called her on the phone, and told her that he wanted her to attend that meeting because he thought it was a very important meeting. So just being there and providing that information was able to get him to have his LA go to that meeting and then get more information for him as far as our program is concerned and what was going on with the legislation. So
I think our in-district meetings have been far more important than the ones in D.C., to be honest, in terms of building our relationship.
You know, even when you visit them in district, that you make a reason to go back in with a thank you note or something like that at another date, just to have your face there for another visit. The more times they see you, not to the point where you're being a pain, but to just being supportive and anything else I can do to help.
I can't say enough about doing things in district. I really think it's a great way to spend your time.
And that was another great story that we heard. Between those two videos, they really make the case compellingly to have an in-district lobby meeting.
Well, you know, we get asked this question, just what the heck is demonstrating political will? And it really is the demonstration of concern in the district for a particular issue. So if we can link the day-to-day lives of constituents with the climate impacts locally, it can really help focus our legislators on what actions we're asking them to take on the Hill. In fact, Yale just came up with a recent, it was a combination of three different surveys where of the people who changed their mind on climate towards being more concerned about it, the number one thing that affected them was knowing the local impacts and having that. So that's a huge thing. And when we demonstrate that the will of the people is for smart and effective action on climate change, and we can point to those five high-level messages that are on the Energy Innovation Act website, those are key in just focusing in on it's good for people, it's effective, it's bipartisan, it's all these things. So those five messages. And we know it's a long path to get a law, a proposal passed into law. We are getting there because now we have actual language. We're just really asking our legislator to hear what comes from our heart and back it up with good data. And that's listening to the heart of the people in the district. And I think that's it, Jamie.
Thank you very much. If you want to contact the Amy or someone else to learn more about this or about how to get involved, you can contact Amy or Brett. I put both of their emails in the chat, so you can save those emails and contact Amy or Brett anytime that you would like. I want to end on an inspirational quote that we like here at CCL. At a time when so much is at stake, I find it, I find unending support, inspiration, and love for my fellow CCLers. With courage and hope for a world in which to engage each other as generously as possible with appreciation and gratitude and respect is the norm and not the exception. That's a quote from a new CCLer during our year-end appeal. We wanted to share that with all of you. Thank you very much, and I hope everybody has a great night.
Thank you all. Good night.
Thank you, Amy and Jamie.